Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
So it is a big day here in the Project Love headquarters because our beautiful Goodbye 2018, Hello 2019 journal is now officially on sale. Yay! Woo! And so we have with us in the studio the woman who has helped make this beautiful journal the beautiful journal that it is. We're here with Ruth Ridgway, who is the designer that has been working with us from the very beginning to help create this journal. So welcome, Ruth.
Thank you. And it's been the coolest thing, like when you sent me the original PDF where it was just like in this little basic form, and now like seeing it on the journey that's come to like real book and design, people holding it in their hands.
And it's velvety cover and the barcode on the back, making a real life product. I know, it's like it's a real adult. Our baby has grown up, has all graduated, gone out into the world. So now you are able to get this journal from the goodbyehellojournal.com and loveprojectlove.com. And if you see us anywhere on social media, you will see images of the book. We're just so excited to see this get out into the world. Last year it went to 32 countries around the world, which is so amazing. And we were only selling it for 1 month in November.
I know, it's quite amazing in 30 days selling 1200 books to people all over the world.
So watch out, world, what's going to happen this year, because we're not going to stop. We're going to keep going through November, December and January and into February. So let your friends and family and colleagues and everyone that you love know that the journal is out there. So that is why we wanted Ruth to be with us today, because she's been such a wonderful part of this journey. And she's wearing one of her very own designed love sweatshirts, which is so appropriate, because I just think, Ruth, you've brought so much love to this whole experience. Working with you is amazing. She's also been designing, which will, at the time of recording this, wasn't yet live, but it will be live. She's still working on it at the time of recording this.
Give me a chance.
Our Love Project Love website. Yay! And honestly, you are the most, just, I learned so much actually from working with you, particularly about boundaries. Giving boundaries with love. We might get onto that later. But just thank you. Just such a joy to work with you.
Well, it's been the funnest thing, because I love, as we know, like it's on, you know, the first t-shirt I ever did. And so I don't know if there's two people meant to work together or three people meant to work together. Yeah, it's meant to be.
I think so. Yeah. Not only that, but Ruth is also a lifestyle designer. So she's got, I mean, it couldn't even be more perfect. Like, will you help us design a life design book?
And she's
a lifestyle
designer.
Yeah, exactly. A lifestyle designer. So she has the Lifestyle Designers Club over at RuthXOXO, isn't it, .com?
RuthXO.com.
RuthXO.com. There we go. RuthXO.com. Where you help people to flourish in life and business. She's actually also an amazing coach. You now do that within the club, don't you?
Yeah.
I've had little nuggets of coaching from Ruth, sort of like, you know, just little tidbits here and there, not officially, but she is just so good at insight and clarity. So obviously, again, we're going to be talking about that today, about your experience of designing your own life and helping other people to do the same. But Ruth is also, so many layers to this woman, an incredible writer. And in particular has written about her own experiences over the past 4 years of designing a life when life did not go the way you had planned or ever expected it. In large part today, we would just love to hear your story and your experience of designing your life with your partner, and also helping other people to design their lives as well. And I know that often people come to you as well when life has not gone the way they have planned. Mm-hmm. To see, right, what next? How do we work with this?
Something cool.
Exactly.
Even if.
So where would you like to start this story?
Do you know what? I'm still saying, when you ask me this, it is like, where do you begin? Because this could start in probably 100 places. But I guess like the first story that I shared with me and my guy was when it was 6 months after his accident. And I wrote a blog post and I shared it. And I was so nervous hitting publish on this blog post because, you know, I'm there with the Lifestyle Designers Club and I'm helping other people design, you know, a life they love and one that brings them joy and fulfillment. And I'm like, well, I'm 6 months after, obviously, my guy's had his accident, and this, it just felt so kind of heavy because, you know, at that stage, my life wasn't all peaches and roses and like sugar-coated everything. It was just everything turned to poop. So yeah, I published a blog post and I just said, like, I don't know if I'm blurring the boundaries between business and personal, and I'm just like, but it just feels so heavy to kind of carry it and try and not hide it, but not have it out there so much. So, you know, just bring the, like, you know, the happy joy bits. But I'm like, it's so heavy trying to hide all this side of my life, which is such a huge part right now. So I just put it out there. And I just had the, like, wave of love and support. Just, yeah, just, I'm so, so glad I did now. But yeah, that basically said where our plans were, like, I was living in Plymouth and he was living in Leeds and we were long distance for about five years. And our plans were, right, we're going to meet in the middle, we'll go to kind of Cardiff for a little while, live together, and then emigrate to New Zealand. And we need to kind of live together, one, to save some money, but two, for immigration, even though we've been together a long time, we need to show on paper, you know, we are a real couple with, you know, rent together and joint accounts together and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, he got a job interview in Cardiff and one that he should have hopefully have gotten on the same day. That's when he had his accident. And it was one, at the end of that evening, he got pushed over a bridge, pushed slash fell over a bridge. And it was a 20-foot drop. He broke his back, he punctured his lung, smashed all his ribs. And I guess that's where it starts.
Well, that's where it begins.
I don't know why I'm laughing, but that's where it starts.
Sometimes you have to. I know, it is weird.
We've done the crying part. Let's do, we'll do the other side now.
Yeah. So when you shared, I guess, that first post about, you know, 6 months later, kind of what had happened in that time, obviously, first of all, there's like the shock of it all.
Mm.
And at what point, yeah, talk to us a little bit about how you got through those first few months.
Do you know what, Nat, like, I almost don't know. It was just a case of, let's get up today, do today, the next day, get up today, do today, the next day, get up today, do today. And whereas we had like future plans, like, I couldn't see any of them anymore. And in my eyes, it was just like, okay, my guy is in hospital right now. What do we need to do to make sure he's okay, or as okay as can be? And we'll get him out and then we will literally figure the rest out later. So he was in hospital in Leeds for 5-ish months, I think it was. So I was going back and up from Plymouth and trying to stay with friends. And I was so, like, thankful at the time, because the time of his accident, I had like a full-time job and I had my business on the side. And I'm just so lucky and thankful that my full-time job was supportive and I had some leave from there. So I was literally up and back. And I thought, right, you know, what can I do? I need to kind of make sure he's okay. I need to visit him. But also at the same time, I'm like, there's a couple of things in me. Like, I didn't want to go back to my job anyway, because life had just changed so much. I'm like, are we going to be here? Are we going to be somewhere else? But I also couldn't face people at the same time, because I didn't want to go back. Everyone was just like, ignored the fact that something had happened. So I'm like, oh, if everybody just, like, you know, because I hadn't really heard from anyone that I worked with, and there were tons of friends, and I heard from a couple, but most people I worked with I hadn't really heard from. So I'm like, oh, I didn't want to go back and then everyone just pretends nothing has happened, because something really big has happened. But I'm like, if I go back and everyone's like, are you okay? What's going on? How's Steve? And I'm like, I don't know if I can face, you know, people looking at me differently either. So I'm like, I don't want people ignoring it, but I don't want people. So yeah, I had some leave from work and I just was like, right, I need to get my head down, work more on my business, because this now needs to go and support us going forward. So I was traveling back and forth between Plymouth and Leeds, and he got transferred, like I said, about 5 months later down to Cardiff. So then I was traveling to Cardiff for the next few months, because he was in hospital for about 10 months, almost a year.
Wow.
And then I'm like, right, okay, well, I don't know what the future is now, because it was, you know, moved to New Zealand and that's kind of off the cards now. So we were like, what do we do? So we go, right, we'll go with, you know, step one of the plan, which was move to Cardiff. So I, like, hunted around, like, where can I find us to go live? Found us somewhere, we moved in, and we were literally like, figured the rest out later. The rest was just like, later. My priority was, like, take care of me slash him, move house. Rest was just, couldn't even think about it.
What was, I really, because I didn't know about any of this till we were on the bus, and I was like, don't tell me don't anything. Don't tell me anything. More. I want to keep it for the podcast. I didn't know what you did before you became the amazing designer, website designer, lifestyle designers club leader. What you did previously. So tell us what was your full-time job when all this happened?
I was working in a bank. It was a different role than what I first got hired for. But when I originally joined about almost 5 years before, I always said like I would never reach 5 years. As much as like I enjoy the people and stuff, I was like, there's no way I'm going to get to 5 years. So it was almost 5 years working for a bank in their mortgage arrears department. So
no way.
Oh, I think she was a photographer before.
No.
She worked in a bank.
So people would call me up and like, I can't pay my mortgage right now.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I know, amazing.
So now it's so strange. And I think for so long, I couldn't see it because obviously I had the lifestyle design, which is like, you know, more about living a rich, abundant, you know, joy-filled life. And, you know, it, like I said, I've got good memories because I've made some nice friends and whatever. But it's so the polar opposite. It's such a different headspace.
It's crazy. But what I do find amazing, though, is, and obviously we're going to hear more about it, is the fact that you had this job, this stable, it's bringing in the money job, which I would kind of imagine someone would go, right, I need that. That's what I'm going to hold on to. And almost forget the side hustle passion stuff, but instead the side hustle, which at the time was that, what was the kind of side hustle jobs?
So his accident was in July, and I think it was at the beginning of the year, like February, I joined B school. Everyone was joining B school at the time. So I joined
the Marie Forleo B school.
Yeah. So like everybody I knew was joining it because everyone was joining it, and I'm like, oh, okay. I've literally just learned maybe 6 months or a year before that there's a whole like online world of business. So I didn't know because I was doing photography and web design for local people, but nothing was really online, which is kind of interesting because I was doing websites, but there we go. Like, but just most of my referrals were coming in person. Then I'm like, there's this whole online world. So everyone at the time, like this was 5 years ago maybe, you know, was joining B school. So I'm like, oh, okay, I want to learn, you know, this world. So I joined and I had my photography business and my design business, and I'm like, this is what I want to grow this. And I kept on going through the modules where it's like, I'll find your ideal clients. And as I was going through it, I'm like, something's not right. So I'd go back to the beginning again and restart, and I'm like, something's still not feeling right. So I go back to the beginning and restart, and it just like clicked then. And while I obviously still do design now, I'm like, oh, this isn't my full-time one and only thing. And just something said to me, go buy the lifestyledesignersclub.com domain. Don't know what you're going to do with it yet, but just go buy that domain. So I bought the domain. I just set up a Facebook group and I just shared lifestyle designy things. I'm just going to use a great big umbrella for that. So just like, I'm just going to share things. I'm going to post in this Facebook group. I'm going to open these kind of conversations. And that's what I did. And then as I started, you know, following those little breadcrumbs, I did want to have an online course, but then trying to create the online course, like my guy went and had his accident. So then trying to create a whole online course on my guy having his accident, it was just like I was melting down with the, you know, all the things that takes. So somebody said to me at the time, oh, why don't you start a mastermind? And I'm like, I'm not ready for a mastermind, you know, like a group coaching program, because, you know, that'll be way down the line. I need to do my course first. Like, these are the steps I need to do. And she's like, well, if you do it, you already have it all in your head. You can just do it live, obviously take the pressure off of like PDFs and, you know, videos and all that kind of stuff. So I bit the bullet, and I think I had like 16 people join, did that. Wow. And yeah, I've just like kind of followed the breadcrumbs from there.
So that was while he was in hospital. Oh my God. So you started, I can't believe you started this business while you're also caring for your partner who's gone through a near life, well, life altering accident. Wow. I had no idea. I'm literally finding this out all now.
Well, I just thought in two ways, because I'm like, well, you know, this is make or break. This now needs to kind of provide for us.
This
so
has to happen now, yeah.
It got to happen. You know, I kind of, you know, whereas part of me wanted to just like tuck myself away, hide under the duvet and just not move for probably the next 6 months. It's just, it's almost not an option when it's a case of you need to do what you need to do. Go ahead and go do it. So I think one, that, but two, actually it was one of the things that saved me, because there's, you know, a whole lot of crap help, you know, happening in my real world.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, just in life. So just to have that solid base and those conversations regularly with people to focus on something that was happy and joy filled and you have your life, but you can at any stage redesign it in any way, shape or form you want. So it's just nice to carry around having those conversations that were a more positive and it just, it added a bit of lightness to the very dark area at the time.
So did you find that being able to have those conversations and already being in the kind of whole lifestyle design headspace, like knowing that you can set intentions and, you know, make change in your life and create a life that you want to live, where, you know, regardless of the limitations you're within, you have that power. Do you think that really helped you to get through that time?
I think at the start, I don't know.
Mm.
I want to say yes, but I don't know, just being in it, I couldn't be that, like, there wasn't a step, like, the, for me at the time, because there was just so much going on, yeah. Like, where are we going to be? Is he okay? He's got tons of pain. It was just get through this more than, oh, it's going to be light at the end of the tunnel and we can do something positive. It was just, we need to get through this. And once we're through, you know, this kind of dark yeah. part, and we've got our place and we're just kind of in a place where we can breathe again, we'll look at it then.
Yeah.
But right now it was more, I think that was more of a case of grieving what we were losing and just getting through. And I knew at some point we would assess, like, what next. For me anyway, it wasn't a stage of like, what is next right now? It's just, let's get through this, grieve what we've lost, and then we'll come back.
I've got loads of questions, but I'm going to let Vicky say something now. I'm jumping in. I've got another thing. Sit back, Salida.
I love the way that you speak on Instagram with such a sense of vulnerability, and how open and honest that you are about your story. And I know that takes real courage. And I think for other people looking in on that, I think people would be intrigued at how you show up and talk about that with such honesty. And I think it's about authenticity as well. I just see such an authentic person that shows up, and your Instagram particularly is such an array of positive kind of messages and uplifting messages and messages of hope and strength. And so I'm really inspired by that, and I think other people will just wonder how you are able to show up and have a voice to share these things that are quite hard to talk about.
Do you know what, I hear you, but at the same time I've not thought about it in that sense. And I don't know when it was quite a couple of years ago, I just remember writing a blog post called something like connection over content. Mm. And so rather than I think the sort of typical way now is, like, when you're sharing something, it has to be quote unquote content, like the five top tips to whatever it is. Mm. Or, and it's so all emotion, feeling, real story, it's just these, I don't know, it's just content being thrown out there. For me to try and sit and write one of those, I'm somebody who, if you try and give me advice, I want to do the opposite instantly. You could give me the best advice in the world, but if you say you should go and do it this way, I instantly want to go and do it the opposite way. So it's not like rebellious naturally, it's just like someone's trying to tell me what to do and I want to do the opposite. Yeah, I've never really thought about it as in like, oh, I'm going to share this story and this is the, you know, exact lesson I want to pass on. Mm. And this is what I've learned, so this is the way you should go do it. Mm. For me, it's just like, this is a little tiny little part of my story, and sharing that thing and how I see it, and then when somebody reads it, they can, you know, take whatever they want from it. Everyone that, to me, that reads it, they're going to have a different set of beliefs, different life circumstance, so you're going to take from it what you want and leave the rest. Mm-hmm. So if there's a lesson in there for you, cool, and if there's not, that's okay too. So I don't know, like, for me, like, the only thing I have is my stories. I'm not very good at, like, making up stories or coming up with content. It's just like, this is a little thing of how I see the world, and I share it, and it's not for the amount of likes or, you know, how many more people are going to follow me. It's just, I don't know, it's just me releasing this little thing out into the world. Mm.
Do you find it helps you to process where you're at in that moment as well?
Yeah.
Because I used to write, for about 3 years, I wrote every Tuesday, I wrote a blog post, and I just wrote from the heart. So the whole idea is I'd just turn up and I had to write from the heart about an experience I was going through or something I'd gone through that I wanted to talk about in that moment. But what I found is it helped me to really process a time when I was just emotionally growing, figuring myself out, working through a lot of stuff. But also what I found is when I shared from the heart like that, it was a connection. I would connect with people, because then the feedback you would get, because so often I would hit send and, like, my shitty committee would descend upon me and just be like, what were you thinking? That is the most self-indulgent blah. But what I would get back was people going, just sharing with me how it had moved them. And I used to call it love on loop. So I said, if I put it out into the world, I shared from my heart vulnerably, and then that would cause a connection in some other people that would read it. And if they then turn, you know, in return sort of wrote back to me, that would, because it had moved them, that would then in turn move me. And it was just like, and then I'd write back to them and be like, this, that would move me. And it was, and I called it love on loop. And it was really like, because I know what you mean, that online world, all sorts of stuff can be going on in real life. But that online world for me for such a long time was a space in which I could, not an escapism at all, is a space that I could step into, be there in a way, kind of step in a step back from life actually and talk about the deep stuff in the way that I think we do in our podcast actually, which is why I love these podcasts, because we, it's a time to step back and talk about the deeper stuff. And for me, that online world is about that. It's about connecting with people, and also the kinds of people I wouldn't necessarily connect with otherwise. But actually, for me, the online world is about, and the way that I've navigated it, particularly through work, is being able to connect with people from the heart. You share from the heart, that's how you're going to connect with them. And it's really interesting that, you know, that you really turn to that in a time where in real life, everything, not in real life, because that's not the
right
thing.
It's
because it's still real life, it's just online life and on the ground life. I don't know what's the word. You know, everything was so hard. It's actually that, you know, it's interesting that you turn to that, and it's quite nice to actually be able to step into that space, because you are stepping out of the other sort of stuff, the day-to-day stuff that's going on. You can step into a space of connection and heart and talking about life from that, you know, from that slight step back perhaps.
I think what you just said, like, it, when I hit the very first blog post about us, which was 6 months after, and I was just so nervous because I hadn't said to my guy that I was doing it. I added at the end of it, I put a GoFundMe, because you know, I said, this is what's happened, if you want to help, support, etc. I said, oh, the main priority for me was getting my guy a home and providing that. And I'm like, I can try and do this on my own, or you know, if any, you know, anyone there wants to help and support, I open that kind of channel up. And I was so nervous because I didn't tell him, didn't tell anybody, I just hit publish, and then I kind of ran away, and I'm like, oh, is he gonna hate it, tell me to take it down, you know, are other people going to think this is so stupid, like, why is she doing this, because like, it was on my, you know, business website that I first published it and then shared it on social. But I just received biggest, like I said, amount of love and support. And then for all other posts that have come afterwards, when I've just felt a little bit nervous, I'm just like, just, you know, have faith and trust, and you know the intentions you're putting it out there. It's just to share a little story and people can take what they want and leave the rest. And so many people have, like, they've read it and they'll relate it back to themselves, and you know, it just, like you said, that love circle just carries on going. And it's made, and then I don't know if you found the same thing, it's made other people then braver to step into something they want to do, because like, oh, okay, Ruth's doing it, or Selena's doing it, or Vicky's doing it, I can do that thing, because do you know what I mean, it encourages them to be braver or make a different choice, or
leading by example. You know, opening up and sharing vulnerably invites other people to do the same, and recognizing they can do the same, because we're craving doing that. And actually, I think that, you know, we can enter into relationships from that depth and that heart opening in perhaps ways we don't dare to, you know, with the people that around us in, I can't, what's the other word for real life? It's the same life, but I can't think of another term of it. We've got to come up with another terminology.
I guess in the public space.
Well, but at home, I'd say, than at home and at work, it's easier perhaps sometimes to first practice opening up online. I would say that practice of opening up online, of blogging, and kind of hiding it actually from my friends and family, and occasionally people would find it, and I was like mortified. I remember one of my friends going, hang on, so is the Selena I know, is that the real one, or is the one that I read the blog post of that was like really deep and in this kind of emotional turmoil? And I was like, can't I be both? And they're like, oh. I was like, you know, so many people are hiding these, this inner world of like all this emotion going on the surface. I was like, you know, hiya. And so anyway, but I suppose doing it first, practicing sharing myself in that way online, helped me to then become more comfortable that I could actually do it with my friends and, you know, a little bit with my family.
Do you know what? There's definitely been a process over here as well, because if you said, you know, some of the things I published or hit publish on, you know, the whole world's going to read it. And I'm like, okay, then no worries. But like, oh, your mom or your boyfriend or one of your good friends, I'm like, oh, that's the when it starts to feel really uncomfortable. And that should be the people that you feel most comfy with reading. And it's just, yeah, it's weird sometimes because those conversations aren't always had, or like the really personal, like you said, vulnerable thoughts. They don't always know all of them, because you don't, you know, you don't spill your guts every day with, this is how I'm feeling in this every moment. So you're like, oh, how are they, you know, what would they think when they see that that's how I saw that situation, which, you know, so yeah, it's that's that's definitely a process. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get a vulnerability hangover from sharing? Sharing things. I had this when I shared my real love story with mm-hmm. my partner a few months back, and I had one 2 days later. And so I wondered if you ever have that from sharing things on Instagram or on your blog about your story and how you deal with that.
I think I probably did a little bit more, but not so much now. I think with just little pieces that I share, because it's quite regular, I'm mostly okay with them. Like I said, like when I first started, and it was just, it felt very, very overwhelming then, and what's everybody going to think? And have I done too much? Should I go and unpublish it? And just questions. Whereas now, mostly, disclaimer with the mostly, I'm okay with it.
Mm. It's a muscle, isn't it? You know, being vulnerable. It's like, you know, and it's, you get used to it, I would say. I mean, having done it, I did it for 3 years, and I don't know if my shitty committee ever really got comfortable with it. It was always thought it was a terrible idea to be sharing in this vulnerable and open way. But I think I learned how to deal with it better, and just, you know, slowly but surely. Certainly hearing my voice on podcasts and seeing myself on video, as Vicky knows, I smile back at myself when I'm editing videos of us. Or just even of myself. I think you get used to it. But I think, yeah, being vulnerable, I think it's is like a muscle. Mm. I think you get, keep the more flexing. You practice, yeah, the more you practice it. I would like to hear where you and your guy are now in life, because it's how many years? Just over 4 years?
Just over 4 years.
Just over 4 years. So yeah, what are you guys up to? What, you know, your business, his business now?
So do you know, we've been having like conversations over the last few months, because it's taken us a long, long time, because even though his accident was 4 years ago, like even now he'll deal with pain a lot. Mm. So it's, you know, it's not been a quick and fast journey. And, you know, we've let go of the New Zealand dream, and we're okay with that now. And we're like, okay, what do we want to do? It's just, what do we want to do next? That question has been such a tough one to answer, because we were so set on, we're leaving the UK, bye-bye, off to New Zealand we go. And we'd mapped out that whole life, and it's like, the life here would be completely different. Yet, you know, it's the one we have. So we've said now, like, okay, we're in the UK. Where do we want to be? Because there wasn't before a single place where we're like, this is where we want to live. And I am a total beach and coastal person, originally from Devon, bordering Cornwall. And he loves Yorkshire and Leeds. And I'm like, he wants me to go there. And I'm like, no, because where's the sea? And I'm like, let's go to Cornwall. And he's like, but it's the edge of the universe. Which it is.
Which is why it's amazing.
Yeah. Which is why it's amazing. So we've got our plan now, where we set our, you know, dream world, where there's no strings, ties, you know, money, no objects, you know, no limitations. Where do we want to be? And I'm still like, Cornwall. And he's still like, Yorkshire. So we've settled now. We're like, we've said, oh, you know, our main home will be in Cornwall, but luckily there's a direct flight that goes from Cornwall to Leeds.
Great.
Which is pretty cheap. And obviously we can drive as well. So we said, ideal world, money, no object, we'd have a, you know, a home in Cornwall, but we'd also have another one in Leeds. And if we want to spend a month in Leeds, we can spend a month in Leeds. If we want to spend 2 months in Cornwall, we can do that, and we can live between the two. So that's plans right now. We're still in Cardiff at the minute, but that's our plans. Plans or dreams? Dreams sounds nicer. Yeah, he's, I say, finding his feet, metaphorically, with his business still. So he's got one called Can't Quit Cartel. And obviously the Can't Quit comes from the very, very tough times and dark times that he had, and it was just a case of like, you can't quit again, day after day. So he's got his own clothing business, and it's heavy bike and mountain bike influence, because that's what he loved and his background. So he's got a really amazing community through all the kind of biking people that, you know, buy and enjoy his stuff. And I think they love it as well, because just the name of it, so many of his customers have been like, oh, you know, I've had depression, or, you know, I had, you know, this tough time happen to me, and whatever the, again, you know, insert the you know, whatever it is,
yeah,
it's just a case of, that's helped me get through, you know, seeing you get through this. And just that name is just like, no, I can't quit. So whether it's like they're riding, you know, a really hard trail on their bike and they just want to give up, you know, pedaling away, they're like, nope, gotta get to the top, can't quit. Or whether it's, you know, had depression or broke their back or whatever it is, it's just that metaphor is kind of carried
so
on.
Amazing. And did he design clothes before his accident, or was
no, he's an electrician.
Amazing. Oh, wow. I just, honestly, it's just like, shit happened on a phenomenal level, and out of it you both grew the most phenomenal businesses, of just not only for yourselves, obviously, you love but that give so much love out into the world. It's just like, what? I so just, incredible. It blows my mind. I hope you realise how amazing it is and how amazing you two are for doing this. This is not how, I mean, just, it's an incredible story of rising up from the ashes of a life that came just crumbling down in, you know, just in that, you know, split moment.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. It's just, it's amazing. And so do you guys like support each other with your businesses? And is that a source of joy in your lives?
I think it's quite nice because he, you know, he has a, I don't want to say it is design, but it's clothing design, but you know, there's element, a lot of elements of design in there because he'll design a lot of his like t-shirts and things. So it's quite nice that we're both doing something similar, even though that wasn't, you know, it wasn't the plan. Let's do something really, really similar. But I can support him and have, you know, when he needs a bit of a second take on something, I can do that for him, and vice versa, he can do it for me.
Has he been helping out with the web Project Love website?
No. He would not. He would have no clue.
And I'd be like, that was actually Steve's idea.
Yeah. But you know what? There are tiny bits because for my design, like coming from a photography background, I love Photoshop. I know it inside, outside, and I will design most things on there. But, you know, there's Illustrator and there's InDesign, and like Illustrator is my weakest, whereas that's the thing from his t-shirts he's learned. So there'll be times when sometimes I'm doing something client-wise and I'm like, I need Illustrator and this is my weakest little link. Like, I can kind of use it, but it's my weakest link right now. So I'll go to him and be like, can we swap this? If we wanted to do this, could we? He's like, pass it here. I'm like, thank you. So I love he can do the little bits that I can't.
So I know, much like ourselves, that self-love and self-care is at the heart of everything that you do. And so I'm wondering what self-care practices really help to support you. And particularly in relation to boundaries, because it's something that we've really noticed working with you. You're so good at setting boundaries with love. And I know lots of clients really, really, really struggle with that. And so what are those self-care, self-love practices?
So I, do you know what, I'm going to say I find this fascinating, because I would say boundaries is one of my, I don't want to say weakest, but for lack of a better word, it's my biggest work in progress ever. So for me, complete and utter recovering people pleaser. And I think it's just come from like when I was at school, I got bullied a lot. So I'm just like, I was the person where like, oh, I wanted to be invisible. So who do you want me to be? Okay, I'll be that person. I'll be the quietest person so I don't upset anybody, or do you know what I mean? I just want to be kind of, so whatever you needed, you know, walk all over me as long as, you know, I'm not being picked on anymore. All is good. So it took me a long time. And then what year was it? 2018. 2017, my word of the year was unapologetic, because I realised I was just making myself so much smaller, and I was allowing somebody else's voice or opinion to matter more than my own. It came to a crunch one point when I was going to Starbucks one day. I don't know if you've seen it on my blog at all, the story. And I was like, oh, there's these big comfy sofas in Starbucks. And I'd go in and I'm like, oh, I want to sit in the big comfy sofa. But they were always like grouped in, like the comfy armchairs were in groups of four. And I'm like, well, I'm just on my own, so I can't, you know, take up all the space of the, you know, four armchairs that are around this coffee table. So I would go and sit on a little like hard chair where it's just like this little tiny table with this little hard chair. And I'd be so resentful. Then like people would come in later and sit on the chairs. I'm like, I want the big comfy. And I just realized how much like I'm apologizing for potentially taking up that space and taking up a chair that maybe somebody would want later on. And I was like, no, you got to do something about this. So I think it's probably now, it's still very much a work in progress, but 2017, my year, my word of the year was unapologetic, which just changed everything. And self-care, do you know what? I don't have a specific, these are my things or rituals, but I've definitely got questions that I love. And if I just, I'll ask myself throughout the day. So if sometimes I wake up in the morning and my guy's not been too well, and I'm like, oh, I've got a to-do list as long as my arm, and I've got all these things I need to do. The first question I'll ask, and I'll just journal on for 5 minutes, is what is the kindest thing I can do for myself today? And I just keep that question in my head. So it could be just have a little extra 30 minutes in bed right now, or it could just be, you know, try and work through your to-do list, and but just make sure you get outside and go for a walk and take a breather, or just take a decent lunch, or whatever answer comes up, that's what I listen to. And so yeah, there isn't a specific thing, but I love that question. What's the kindest thing I can do for myself right now? And it could be speak up. It could be take yourself out of that situation. It could be just down tools for the day. The to-do list gets shunted to tomorrow. Just go and rest. But so I think that's just my one thing that I do. I love it.
Maybe that's what you did on the day when we got the call saying, hi, I do need all of the pieces that are required for me to make this website, and I do actually need them now and not at some point maybe in the future when you finally get around to it, which is kind of the message that we got. We went, oh my God, she's right. We would, I mean, I was just like, I totally would have done that. I've been like, ah, yeah, yeah, I'll get those pictures to her at some point when she's on that page. She was like, no, 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 that is not how this is going to roll. And we thanked you for it because it was like...
Well, I was really surprised at the message I got back. So I'm like, they've just thanked me. And I'm like, I was so nervous sending to you guys, like, I, you know, you want me to go and design something? Cool, I can design the thing, no problem. But I need bits so I can go do that design. And it was just, I think because if it was somebody I didn't know so well, I'd be like, no worries, guys, this is what I need, send me the stuff. And I'm like, oh, but, you know, these are people I like, and I don't want to upset them. So it was tough.
It's choosing that over resentment. Because otherwise, you're bending over backwards or, you know, going into that people-pleasing space, then it just creates that tension and resentment. I have a gratitude practice that I write every morning, and I thank you for teaching me about boundaries, because it's I think it's inspiring to see how you do it. Because, yeah, it was a lesson that I took from that, how you can give them, but, like, in a loving way.
Do you know what? Whatever little section this goes in the podcast, I'm going to bookmark it. So next time, where I'm just sweaty palming.
Yeah, exactly.
Hovering over the
repeat.
I'm just going to listen to this and be like, send the damn email.
Yeah. But I think it's a really interesting one because people pleasers, of which all three of us are, I think it's like learning how to have healthy boundaries, because we don't want to become a different kind of person who just goes, oi, shouting, you know, ordering people around, not being very nice. Not being very nice, but being like direct, being abrupt, telling you what they want, and, you know, not caring a bit if whether, you know, the other person likes that or not, which is kind of the healthier way to be, but it's not, it's just not how we want to roll in life, is actually that you can put down boundaries and there's a way of doing it with love. But we've not really been modelled that.
No.
You don't get to see it often. So that's why when you were doing it, I was like, this is brilliant. I was like, oh shit, she's in a panic. And she should be in a panic because we really haven't got everything. It's like a week late and it's just like, oh God. And I just said, listen, this is Vicky and my, like, our worst flaws is like the final pieces. And, you know, those fine, the little detailed bits. And it's just like, ah, yeah, mañana, mañana. And actually, I was like, oh, no,
literally.
Literally every day. It was a really great lesson, actually, to see someone putting those boundaries in with love.
Yeah, it's rare.
Yeah, and I think all of us people pleasers, it's one of our biggest challenges, it's one of the biggest things that we need to learn.
I think you said, like, it's you don't want to get to that place where either you change in yourself because then you're not you, or you're just, you know, you get to that stage where you're just resenting somebody that there's no need to be resenting them at all, and there could be a really lovely, beautiful relationship as long as you just say, like, this is what I need right now.
But actually, I think if you'd said it in a gentler way, I don't think I would have heard it. If you've been like, just a little nudge, it was, of course, like, I can admit I'm in a panic now because you still haven't sent me the stuff. I was like, oh, shit. Okay, I hear you now. So obviously, you now help people create lives that, you know, that really work for them, no matter what their circumstances are. And obviously, a lot of people, but in part because of your story, but also because you're brilliant at it, come to you when their life hasn't gone the way that they planned. What would you say, if you can, in a nutshell, what advice would you give them? No, but what, you know, when people get to that moment where suddenly they realise, just, and they're still going through the grief as well, of like, this was not the way I had wanted my life to be. Because you wrote a blog post recently, which was really beautiful, about how, you know, 4 years on, and you obviously are creating now businesses that you love, and you've got dreams again, and you can see a future together. But you still, there are moments of grieving the life you no longer have, that you know, you're still not used to being the taller one, with you writing that and not fitting into the crook of his arm anymore. You know, so I suppose is managing, I'm asking two different questions, but I suppose there's creating a life that you love while also allowing yourself to grieve what you've lost. But yeah, what advice do you give people? Just that easy question.
What
would you like to say? Okay, I'll put it in a different way. Someone who's listening to this, who's perhaps like, wow, this is me. You know, this is, this is not the life I'd had planned. And, you know, I'm still grieving it, but I'm ready to create a new life.
Yeah.
What would you like to say to them?
What would I
like
you
words
said?
Of encouragement.
I think it's more allowing yourself, because I'm like, okay, these dreams have just, you know, shot to poop now. Mm. And I'm someone who must fix the problem. What's the next dream? You know, move on. Need to have something to focus on. I remember just everyone at the time, like, give yourself time and space. And I'm like, yeah, no, like, I need a plan. And, you know, people could tell me until I, you know, they were blue in the face. So I just give yourself time. And I'm like, no, I need a plan. But really, you just need, like, I think the biggest thing I can say is just give yourself that time. Like, you know, I wanted to, like, I'm done with the grieving process now. Can we just move on to the, you know, next good thing? Mm. But it just does not work that way. And I, you know, like I said, not learnt from other people saying, but it was just going through it. Just I needed that time to, okay, this isn't my life anymore. Those dreams we had, they're not possible anymore. And just allowing myself as much time and space as I needed to grieve the things that we literally wouldn't have anymore. Like, we will never experience some of the things that we, you know, had dreamed about before I could at all move on to, you know, any of the what's next. Mm. So I think the time side of things, I have another blog post because apparently I have a lot, but there's one and I can't even remember what's in it, but I just remember the title where it's called A Different Kind of Beautiful. Mm. So where, you know, we were like, oh, we want to create this really beautiful life, and that beautiful life, you know, it's not going to happen for us anymore, but it doesn't mean that we can't have a different kind of beautiful life. Mm. Yeah, that's how I kind of see it, just because, you know, there isn't just this is the one and only beautiful life, and if you've lost that one, that's it. Sorry.
That's it. Just one dream. You only allowed
the one
dream.
Yeah. And it might take a little bit of time to find what the new one is, or discover, or, you know, play around and allow yourself in a different space. But there were different ones, and, you know, the different kind of beautiful we have now, if for any reason that didn't work out or something again happened, I couldn't imagine a different one, but I know there could be and would be one.
Wow, just so inspiring. Well, that gave me shudders when you said that, different kind of beautiful. Mm. Just so inspiring and so amazing. Wow, thank you for sharing all of that. And I really encourage you, if you've been enjoying this podcast, go and check out Ruth's website and her blog. And where can they find you? Because there's various different places, aren't there? So can you just talk us through all you have to offer and where to find it, from the Lifestyle Designers Club to the t-shirts? We haven't talked about the t-shirts, the love t-shirts and the sweatshirt that you're wearing right now. Where your writings, where they can find your writing.
So do you know what? It's a good time to ask, because I was on about a million different places and I'm like, I need to make this really simple. So right now, everything is on my website. Yeah. So my club is there, my t-shirts are there, my writing is there. And for, like, Instagram, I've got, you know, my main Instagram, Ruth Ridgeway XO, where I just share, like, all different bits. Some could be lifestyle designs, some are just personal stories, some are just t-shirts. Mm. And I've just got a couple of little spin-off ones right now. So, like, for example, like, for the love t-shirts that I do, if people are wearing them, I've got one where I can reshare other people wearing them. But, yeah, most of it will be on my website and a couple of little spin-off Instagrams from there.
Yeah, so definitely head over there and you'll read just such inspiring blog posts from Ruth. Just go and buy things from her. She's having, as we have been doing. I've now bought two of those love t-shirts because I used the other one so much that I basically wore it out, and I was just like, when are you bringing back more? But they're just gorgeous, and I just think, yeah, knowing the story as well behind what you do, and it's just, it makes it even more meaningful. Mm. And even more inspiring. So And you are truly such a joy to work with.
Yeah.
And we really feel like, you know, it's the three of us behind this beautiful journal that's going out into the world. And I just feel like there's so much love has poured into it, from your designs, also to Park Communications, the printer, who we also love.
They let us have a velvety cover, which we're really excited about.
Yeah, a velvety cover.
It does feel nice.
The little shiny Project Love on the front. Oh my God, so I can't wait to see what this does for people and what your word is going to be for 2019.
Yes,
as well.
Me too.
What was your 2018 word or focus?
2018, what word? My word of this year was supported. So, I don't know, it just came out of, like, I'm always like, I have to be the one to fix, I have to be the one to do, like, you know, I have to go, and I can't stop. And it's just like, oh, hang on a minute, there's a universe out there. And I just will, again, umbrella that statement of whatever that looks like. And just, what would it look like if you allowed yourself to be supported from all ways? Mm. So, yeah, could you be? Like, do you have to do it all? And like, does it have to be really hard work all the time? Or can you maybe be supported in ways that you don't even, you're not even looking, seeing right
well.
Now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And has it been going well?
Yeah, it's been an eye-opener in a different way. Like, do you know what I love about Word of the Year? It's like, they start as one thing, but you get, generally for me, I get about halfway through and I'm like, oh, it's about 6 months in where like a penny drops and I see it in a completely different way. So yeah.
I find that too. So with, you know, we obviously offered all sorts of different ways that you can choose a focus for your year in the Goodbye Hello Journal. But what I find is these days, there's just a word that comes to me or three words that come to me that I'll kind of plant, almost like a seed, like set the intention. I know I want it, but I don't yet know how that's going to manifest. And part of it is almost seeing how that actually, all the different ways that works out. We do hear that back a lot from people. I remember someone saying that one of the things she wanted, lightness, and she ended up moving into a new home that was like full of light. She was like, I hadn't even thought it was going to be like literally as well as kind of, you know, lightness of spirit. Yeah. She's just like, it was just happening everywhere. You just never know how it's going to turn up. So yeah, that's that's the magic.
Do you know what? I think the nice thing, I don't like, cause I've spoken to a few people that have set a word, but they maybe use it for a month and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll do that, and also, and I'm like, no, I need to sit with it for a good year, because often the lessons, you know, exploring it in every different avenue, nook, cranny, it just, I feel it takes that full year sometimes.
Yeah.
To fully embrace. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, Ruth, thank you so much for joining
us
today on this celebration day and sharing your story.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
The Project Love Goodbye 2018 Hello 2019 Journal is now on sale.
Goodbye Hello is an end of year guide that helps you to say a proper farewell to 2018 as it comes to an end and create a vision and a plan to help you to thrive and create a life you love in the year to come.
Order your copies of the Goodbye Hello Journal now for you and your loved ones over at thegoodbyehellojournal.com.